The text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for the service of worship today, and the final words there of verse number 4 of Luke chapter number 5, where it says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." The passage before us tells of Christ enabling Simon Peter and John to gather in a miraculous draught of fish. Prior to this, Peter and John had been fishing all night, and their toil had been fruitless. There had been no catch. However, here in verse number 4, you'll see that the Lord speaks directly and specifically to Simon Peter. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And upon heeding this command, Simon Peter and John, they haul in a great catch of fish. And my, the catch is so great that their net begins to break. And the boat that they were sailing in and fishing in, it begins to sink. And my, such a catch really shows the tremendous power, the miraculous power of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this miracle here has some very, very important lessons for God's people regarding the great work of soul winning, winning souls to Christ and serving the Lord. And you will see that from the passage, because immediately following the miracle in verse number 10, the Lord there speaks again to Simon Peter about being a fisher of men, about serving the Lord. And at the end of verse number 10, he says, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And you know, just as Simon Peter was to serve the Lord and to be a fisher of men, so it is also God's will for all his people to serve the Lord, to be a fisher of men, to be a winner of souls. And we see that truth emphasized by James himself at the end of his epistle in James chapter 5 and the verse number 20, where he says, "Let him that know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." And there James is speaking to the Lord's people, the redeemed of the Lord, of being a winner of souls. And that again is the lesson that Christ is driving home here to us at the end of verse number 10, when he says to Simon Peter, "Fear not, from thenceforth thou shalt catch men." Yes, Peter was to be a winner of souls. John was to be a winner of souls. And my, that work applies to all God's people as well. Yes, the great work of leading others to Christ is not just for the disciples or the apostles, not just for the pastor or the minister or the missionary or the evangelist. Rather, God would have all his people, whom he saves by his grace, to be a winner of souls, to be instruments in the hand of God, and pointing and directing others to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Child of God, in the meeting today, let me say this: being a winner of souls is the work of the Lord that God wants each and every one of us to be helpers in, and wants each and every one of us to be involved in. As we would then think upon this great work of winning souls to the Savior, there are three things I want to set before you in connection with our text and from the passage here in Luke chapter 5. First of all, you will notice that in the work of winning souls, there is a command for the believer to obey. And that command here was given by Christ to Peter in the passage in verse number 4, where it says, "And now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And there Christ told Peter to go out into the sea and to cast his nets. And my, in launching out to the sea, all the moorings that bound the boat to the shore and to the land, they were to be lifted. They were to be untied. And in going to fish, Peter here was told to go out into the deepest part of the Sea of Galilee. And this was something that was really contrary to tradition. It was really contrary to human reason, for normally in the Sea of Galilee, fishing was done close to the shore. It was done in the shallows of the sea. But this time, Simon, Peter, and John must go out a little further. They must go out into the deep and into the depths of the Sea of Galilee. Child of God, in the great work of winning souls to Christ, this is a command that you and I must also obey. As it says here in our text, we must launch out into the deep. In doing so, our ties to this ungodly world are to be broken and severed. The Bible says to you and I who are saved in the book of Romans, and be not conformed to this world. Indeed, if you and I are to lead others to Christ, our lives must be different from this ungodly world. Our lives must be holy, separate from sin, separated unto Christ. Look at what it says there about Peter and John at the end of verse number 11. It says, and when they had brought their ships to land, it says, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and they followed Christ. And likewise, you and I as believers must forsake all, and we must be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymnwriter says we cannot be channels of blessing. If our lives are not free from all sin, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Yes, our lives must be separate from the ungodly evil ways of this world if we're to be fishers of men. But also, if we are to be fishers of men, then like Peter, we must launch out into the deep. We must go out into the deep. What does that mean to us in the work of soul winning? In other words, dear child of God, you and I must be prepared to go to the hardest of people, indeed to the most difficult of places with the gospel. Child of God, perhaps you know someone or you know some place that perhaps seems greatly opposed to the gospel. Well, that's the person, that's the place where you and I must go with the gospel. That's the person, that's the place that you and I must be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ too. You think of the story of John Payton, that missionary of a bygone day. He went willingly as a missionary to the New Hebrides Islands of the South Pacific, despite the fact that the people in those islands were given over to awful sin and to cannibalism. They thought nothing of killing people and slaying them and eating their flesh. Yet there he went as a missionary for God, and he saw many converted to Christ, many saved by the grace and power of God. And humanly speaking, people would say, oh, that's a place you want to stay away from. That's a people you don't want to go near with the gospel. But he went, and he was faithful. And he saw souls saved by the grace of God divine. You think of the great commission of Christ. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Think of the example of Christ himself while he was here on earth. In John chapter 4, he says, I must needs go through Samaria. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans whatsoever. They looked down upon them. There was animosity toward them. But Christ went through Samaria and he met the woman at the well, the woman of Cana of Galilee, and saw her saved by the grace and by the power of God divine. Think of Christ going to the Gadarenes, meeting the man who was possessed, that no man could tame. The man who used to break the chains of fetters to pieces, yet Christ went to that man, and you read of him sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind, saved by the mighty power of God divine. And if you think of the day in which you lived, people would have said to the Lord, oh, don't go near that man. Have nothing to do with that man. But the Lord went to him with the gospel. And the Lord saved him by his mighty power and mighty grace. Turn with me over there to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 14. And the verse number 21, look at what it says there. It says in the middle of verse number 21 of Luke chapter 14, it says to you and I who are saved, go out quickly. We are to attend to the work of soul winning with haste. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the thought there is in the gospel work of soul winning, we're to be those who go forward with haste and with zeal and bringing the gospel to others. Dear child of God, in the meeting this morning, let us be those who launch out into the deep. Let us be those who are prepared to leave our comfort zone. Let us be those who are prepared to go a little further for God. Go a little further with the gospel to others. And by God's grace and by God's power, be a witness for the Lord. And see others saved by the grace and power of God. Maybe there's others in our workplace. Others in our family circle. Others in our neighborhood, in the community where we live. And how God would have you and I to be a witness to them. Maybe they're hardened to the gospel. Maybe they seem to have little interest in the things of God. But dear child of God, the Lord says to you and to me through this text, He says, launch out into the deep. Yes, there is a command here for the believer to obey, but notice not only the command. In the work of soul winning and winning souls to Christ, there is a response that is demanded of the believer. And in the case here of Simon Peter, you'll see that his response was one of obedience to the Lord's command. Look again at verse 5 that follows on from our text. It says, And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And you see something there about Simon Peter that he obeyed. Despite weariness, despite past disappointing, he'd been fishing all night. And I'm sure he was ready to rest and maybe didn't want to go out into the sea again. Yet he says, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He obeyed despite weariness, tiredness. He obeyed despite past disappointment. He had toiled all night. He was an experienced fisherman. And no doubt he would have been disappointed at not bringing in a catch from the night's labor and the night's toil. Yet he obeys. And he says, Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Dear child of God, in our meeting this morning, perhaps in the past, maybe you too have had your disappointments in the great work of seeking to win souls to Christ, and the great work of seeking to lead others to the Lord. Maybe you have been a witness for the Lord and others have spoken to you, and maybe they've said, Yes, I'll get saved. Yes, I'll go with you to the gospel meeting. I will go with you to the gospel mission, whatever. But sadly, their words have been empty. Their words have been fruitless. Well, child of God, let me encourage you this morning here through Peter's example. Don't let past disappointments hold you back from present endeavor and indeed future endeavor for the Lord. Have the spirit here of Peter in our passage who said, Nevertheless, how I love that word, nevertheless, at thy word, he says, I will let down the net. And what was Peter really saying there to the Lord? He was saying, Lord, never mind the past. Never mind our toil. Never mind our weariness. Never mind our disappointment in the past. At thy word, I will let down the net again. He was saying, Lord, never mind the past. I'll go at your bidding. I'll do what you want me to do. We'll go out into the deep. Nevertheless, he says, we will let down the net. Nevertheless, Lord, I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll obey your bidding. I'll be faithful to you in this matter. He did not let past disappointments hold him back. Child of God, do not let past disappointments hold you back from present service and future service for the Lord. Don't allow that to happen in your life. Turn with me, please, over to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13 and verse number 14. And you'll see again here, Paul was a man who didn't let the past hinder him in present service and in future service for God. Look at what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." In other words, those things that are in the past, he says, forgetting those things, reaching forth, he says, unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting the past, of all its difficulties and trials and battles and indeed disappointments. He says, I press toward the mark. I'm going on with God. I'm going on in my service for the Lord, reaching forth unto those things that are before, going on toward the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There you see how Paul did not let the past hold him back from serving Christ in the present and indeed serving Christ in the future. And child of God, whatever our past discouragements may have been in the past, I say to you, child of God, whether you're saved recently, whether you're saved a long time, do not let those past hindrances, those past discouragements, as it were, hold you back from present endeavor and future endeavor for Christ until the Lord comes or calls you home. Don't let that hold you back. The devil would want to use that to hold you back from present and future service for the Lord. You think of the land of Great Britain at the beginning of World War II, whenever Dunkirk fell in 1940. At that particular time, Britain's back was really against the wall, so to speak, in the land. Indeed, things were that dark and that desperate for Britain at that particular time that there was many, including the government of the United States of America, who wanted Britain to surrender and to negotiate a peace terms and a deal with Hitler. But Churchill wouldn't listen. His message was, never, never will we give in to Hitler and the Nazis. We will fight on. And he went on with the war, determined, and he was victorious over Hitler and the Nazis on the 8th of May, 1945. It was a very, very dark day for Britain, but he went on determined to fight to the last. And you know the famous speech that he made. But there was that determination, despite failure, despite disappointment, to go on, not give in, go on with the battle, go on with the war. And you know, that's the spirit that the people of God need also in the work of God and the cause of Christ. We need that determined spirit, not to give in, not to throw in the towel, despite past disappointments and past discouragements, to go on with the work of God, go on with the cause of Christ. You think of Nehemiah, the great reformer and builder, rebuilder of the walls of Jerusalem. And he had many hindrances, and there were those who came to him and done everything to persuade him to, as it were, put down the trowel and cease from the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. And what was Nehemiah's message to them? He says, I am doing a great work. I cannot come down. He was determined to go on with the work at hand, not to quit, not to cease, despite even those who are employed by the devil to hinder him in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. And people of God, that's the spirit you and I need in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Do not let past disappointments, past discouragements, wherever they have come from, do not let them hinder you from present service and future endeavor for the Lord. Notice also here something else about Peter. that he obeyed in faith. For in verse number 5 of Luke chapter 5, there he says, at thy word, he says, I will let down the net. And Peter there was acting in accordance to God's word. And this is what true faith is. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. My true faith is the believer living for God, serving his cause in accordance with God's word. You think of Paul. Paul was a man of God's word. He could say, for we walk by faith and not by sight, as we're singing about earlier on. Brethren and sisters in Christ, in the great work of serving the Lord and seeking to win souls to Christ, you and I were not to use the gimmicks or the follies of men, no. But rather we're to live by God's word. And we are to proclaim and to spread the glorious truths of the word of God in this evil and ungodly day. You think again of the counsel that Paul gave to the church at Philippi. Over in Philippians chapter number 2 and the verses 15 and 16. This is what he says. Listen to the word of God. He says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth, he says, the word of life. And that's the path that you and I are to follow as we seek to live for God in this wicked and ungodly world. We're to be blameless without rebuke. And as it says here, we're to go forth, holding forth the word of life. Let us be those who proclaim and spread, do all we can to advance the word of God and the glorious message and cause of the gospel. Yes, in the work of winning souls, there's a response that is demanded. There's a command that is given. But notice one final thought here from our passage of Scripture. In the work of winning souls to Christ, my, there's a blessing that is to be expected. Look at verse 5 and verse number 6 there of Luke chapter 5. It says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And you'll see there that whenever Peter obeyed the Lord, there was a great catch of fish, and was the Lord who had given the increase. Go down to verse number 9 of the chapter. You'll see there that it says of Peter, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. You'll see there that this increase was really beyond their expectation. You notice there the word astonished. It says he was astonished and all that were with him. And that word astonished really means to be astounded. It means to be overwhelmed. It means to be amazed. This was something what we might say was the talk of the town, the talk of the area, the talk of the district at what the Lord had done. The Lord gave a great draft of fishes, a great catch. You know, people, can I say, as we look further at this, that great as that catch of fish was, it would have been far greater had Peter obeyed the Lord fully. You might say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, look at verse number 4 again of the passage. You'll see there that Christ says to Peter, he says, let down your nets. Notice there the word nets is in the plural. But if you go down to verse 5 and verse number 6, you'll see that Peter only let down one net. It says there in verse 5, Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. Verse 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And my, if Peter had obeyed the Lord fully here, I believe the catch would have been far, far greater. Yes, the partial obedience here of Peter, it shows, yes, the weakness of Peter's faith. But despite Peter's weakness, dear people, you see here the mercy of the Lord, that he still gives an abundant catch. And there's a great draft of fishes brought in the net that Peter himself at cast. He shows great mercy here to Peter. Turn with me back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. And look at what the Lord says there to his people in verse number 20 of Matthew chapter 17. He says, "For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." I wonder if you ever seen mustard seed. Mustard seed is really as small as a speck of pepper that you might put on your dinner. That's how small mustard seed really is. And what's the Lord really showing you and I and teaching us here? He's teaching us this, dear people of God. Yes, our faith may be weak, may even be small at times in the Lord's part. But if we are faithful to the Lord and living for the Lord, obedient to His word and will, and earnest in seeking Him in prayer and witnessing for Him and depending upon His power, in due season, the Lord will give the increase. In due season, God will bless, and souls will be saved and won to Christ. What does it say over in Psalm 126? "He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." In Paul's letter to the Galatians, he says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Turn with me over to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. And look at these tremendous words of encouragement to us all who are saved today to be a witness for the Lord and to seek to win others to Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 14. And look at what Christ says in verses 12, 13, and 14 of the chapter. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, if ye shall ask anything in my name." The Lord says, "I will do it." What a promise, dear people, to encourage you and I to serve the Lord, to do what we can to advance the gospel and to win others to Christ, to the Savior. People of God, as individual believers, indeed, as a church, let us be those who launch out into the deep. Even as we think of the forthcoming mission and the special endeavor that will soon be upon us, let us be those who launch out into the deep for this mission. Let us go forth to serve the Lord with greater zeal, greater love for souls, a greater vision of the Lord's power. Let us look to the Lord alone to give the increase. Paul said that he had watered, or Paulus had watered, he had planted. He says, but God gave the increase. And if Paul and Apollos had never watered, never planted, then it wouldn't have been the increase. If there is to be the harvest, as there is to be the harvest in the physical realm, as the seed must be sown, so there must be that endeavor in the spiritual realm. God uses instruments. He uses His people who are saved by the grace of God to spread the gospel, to extend His kingdom, to see others saved and won to Christ. The mission as it approaches, let us be those who launch out into the deep. You know, if Peter had disobeyed this command completely and said, "No, I'm going home. I've been out all night, Lord. I'm going to rest. I've done my fishing. There's no more fishing going to be done today." There wouldn't have been that great catch. But praise God, he obeyed and he launched out into the deep. Let us be those who follow his example. Unsaved, in the meeting this morning, let me say this. There's a lesson here for you as well in these words. Launch out into the deep. Yes, they apply to us who are saved about serving the Lord and witnessing for the Lord. But you know, if you're to be saved, you too need to launch out into the deep. What do we mean by that? In other words, by faith. You must lay hold upon Christ and trust Him and embrace Him as your own and personal Savior. You remember the Philippian jailer? God disturbed his nest. He literally turned his world upside down. He, the prison keeper, comes trembling before Paul and Silas, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And it says of him that he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. He heeded the message of Paul. He believed on Christ. He stepped out in faith. He trusted the Lord, and he was saved by the grace of God. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl in the meeting this morning, will you not launch out in faith to the Lord? Trust him. Call upon him for salvation. Confess your sins to him. Notice Peter's confession there in verse 8 of the passage. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Acknowledge your need like Peter as a sinner before the Lord. Call upon him and trust him as Savior. He'll not turn you away. He'll forgive your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll fit you for heaven. And may he prepare you for serving the Lord in your day and generation. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together the hymn number 513. 513 in the page 383. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. Let us seek by God's grace to be winners of souls to the Master. 513 will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing.
Souls is wise. He that winneth souls is wise.
the close of a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Bless Thy word, Thy truth to every heart. Help us, Lord, as Thy people to launch out into the deep. Lord, help us to be a winner of souls, even this week as Thy people. Lead us to souls to be a witness, Lord, for Thee, to speak of our Savior. For any, Lord, in this gathering today, Lord, they're not saved. May they too launch out in faith and trust the Lord and call upon Him for salvation. We thank that Christ has promised, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our separate homes and safely bless us throughout this thy day. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. Pour out thy spirit upon us and visit this house today, Lord, with thy salvation. We ask it all in the Lord's great name. Amen and amen.